Michael Dean, Freedom Fiends. Hello, Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. How you doing?
Hey, Michael, I'm good. It's good to be on the radio with you.
I know. You're coming out of semi-retirement to co-host both shows this weekend. I'm pleased with that.
And I'm still broadcasting from our motorhome.
From your windowless motorhome?
Yeah.
You and your wife still driving around the country in a van solving mysteries?
Yeah, with a little dog. We are. Actually, that little dog just cost us over $500. It was very uncomfortable.
Hmm. You'd call him Scooby-Doo?
She's not quite that cool.
How'd she charge you $500 or cost you?
She has dogs have a gland called the, it's radio friendly here, the anal gland, and it has to be maintained properly. Otherwise, the dog can get very sick. And hers went from perfectly fine to she can't walk in about 24 hours. So we had to get her in for emergency treatment.
Wow. Well, yeah, I'm taking some cats in next week. One cat in for some dental work, which is kind of interesting. Never had taken a cat for dental work, but should be fun. And the cat had to go get its fur mowed, its annual kicky summer do recently. And the cat's name is Fuzzy, and Fuzzy gets a little less fuzzy every about this time of year. We take her we take her in. You know, I was listening to the news. Not everybody listening on different radio stations hears the same news as we do, but here's a little insider baseball about news, about radio. The 6 minutes at the top of the hour, almost every talk radio show starts 6 minutes in, and the first 5 minutes are usually national and regional news, and the last minute of that 6 minutes is usually 5 minutes of national news and then 1 minute of local news. Sometimes it's split a little bit differently, but there was a thing in there with Obama speaking. And, you know, I feel like it's not really a law that you have to complain about Obama every hour, once at least on talk radio, to keep your good standing in talk radio. But it kind of feels like it is. And we sometimes forget to talk about how horrible Obama is because we're too busy talking about how fun things are in life. And we don't dwell. So I'll just say at the top of the hour, Obama's horrible. He's a tyrant. But so are all politicians except Ron Paul. And he got locked out by the GOP so he could never have a chance. And we don't even like the political system anyway. It's all based on theft, coercion, threats of violence, and threats of kidnapping and putting you in a cage, and threats of stealing your property if you don't obey nanny laws written down on paper by wise old men picked by 51% of the people who are too stupid to actually govern themselves. But, you know, I was listening to him. And I'm an audio engineer. I am pretty sensitive to different sounds and can tell what they are. And there was it was Obama. It sounded like he was speaking in a medium-sized, empty marble hallway, like the halls of Congress, literally. He's not speaking in the halls of Congress. He's in a studio-like room, probably the Oval Office, you know, a room that has a lot of carpeting in it and sound conditioning so it doesn't reverberate and sound bad. And I think that they have a button somewhere on the presidential, you know, it's kind of like the man behind the curtain on the Wizard of Oz. Nobody messes with the Wizard of Oz. I think they push a button or pull a lever to make him sound more godlike and more presidential and like he's in the halls somewhere, because he's not in the halls of Congress. He's not anywhere that's marble lined with no other people making background noise. He wouldn't go in the walls in the halls of Congress because, you know, there are one or two congressmen who haven't fully been bought out yet who, you know, may stick to their guns and would probably come up and try to tell him what's on their mind, and he wouldn't like that.
Actually, Michael, you have that all wrong. I have it from inside sources near the White House, not not really, that Obama does all of his broadcasts and all of his recordings in an actual hall on Mount Olympus in the company of Zeus.
Yeah.
Zeus runs his monitor.
Yeah, people say Obama's a secret Muslim. I have decided I'm pretty sure he's not, because he kills too many Muslims with drone strikes. And, you know, some people say, well, you know, some Muslims kill some other kind of Muslims, but Obama's an equal opportunity destroyer. And, you know, he kills Christians, he kills Muslims, he kills all kinds of people. I really believe that his God is the state and himself.
Yeah.
And like most statists who worship the state, tell me your theory, your factual, I think this is what Ben will be remembered for. It'll be like the Ben Stone theorem. Tell me the difference between the state and the government.
Sure. The way I look at it, first off, it's a failure of language. So because of a lack of a better terminology, I look at it like this. The government is made up of all those people who like to wear uniforms and have fancy titles. And they're in all levels throughout the government, where they're doing everything from, you know, carrying your mail to hitting you over the head with a billy club. And, you know, every level of government is made up of people working and doing stuff and providing different services or threats, or whatever it is that they
provide
do
services or threats. That's what the government does.
But the state,
and that's any government. That's any government anywhere. We're not complaining about America. If we lived in England, well, we'd be in jail for speaking like this if we were in England. But we'd speak like this for a few episodes about England if we were in England, and then we'd be in, you know, debtor's prison or something.
It was the same in ancient Babylon, in modern day China, in North Korea, and in Washington, D.C. It's all the same.
It's
really
all matters of degrees.
Yeah. And so then there's something else besides that. There's something that gives legitimacy to these people in their little costumes and with their titles and all their authority. So what is it that gives that authority? What is it that gives that legitimacy? And that's based on a belief. It's based on an idea that government is legitimate. And I believe that idea is the concept of the state, the belief, the religious belief system that makes thinking that government is good and thinking that government has the right to behave the way it does. That's what I call the state. And if you look at it from a religious point of view, you think, well, like, we all know the story, whether you believe it or not, we all know the story of Adam and Eve, where Adam and Eve are in this perfect setting and they're given all these, you know, resources, and they're told the only thing you can't do is touch the fruit of the tree of good and evil. And then they go ahead and break that one rule, and they take the fruit of the tree of good and evil. And in doing so, they know the difference between good and evil, and that breaks the spell or whatever. And they're cast out of this perfect paradise that they were in. And I believe that's a metaphorical story telling the process of how humans used to be free, real freedom, no leash of any length, no chains of any length. They were truly free. And then humans got it in their mind that some humans could make up laws, what was good and what was bad. And when they did that, and when they adopted that as legitimate, they abandoned the natural law, the godly law, if you want to put it that way, that they were born with, and they adopted a new religion, a new idea, that is the state, that some people have some kind of magic authority to say what law is, and then everybody else just has to obey that. And if you don't obey it, then those people who decide what law is can punish you. And it's all this one little club of people all control what law is and what the punishment is. And they can change it at any time. They can make anything against the law that they want at any particular time, or they can reverse themselves at a whim. Now, they have to do this within enough cooperation with everybody else that people don't rebel. But even when they rebel, they just set up a different group of people to do the same thing. So it's all based on that religious idea of the state, that there are a few people who somehow magically have the authority to make up law and enforce it upon everyone else and charge us for it.
Do you think if the state, you know, the government of the mind, okay, so basically the government is the buildings, the paychecks, the cops' guns, the cops' badges, the secretary taking the notes for the lawmakers, the scribes, the royal scribes, the lawmakers themselves, the government buildings, vehicles, land, etc., that's owned, or the deeds owning that land. That's the government. The state is the belief of people that keeps that going. Is that the difference?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so if the state disappeared overnight, or, you know, a large majority, if we reached a place where, you know, 70-80% of people no longer believed in the legitimacy of the government, how long would the government last, and what would it look like? Would there be Nuremberg trials for drug warriors, or what would happen?
It's possible. It's hard to really say, you know, what the future will be like with any kind of accuracy, but there are several possible avenues that could really take place, and one would be trials. And, you know, putting heads of state on trial and all the way down to the low level minions and saying, why did you beat that bum to death? Or why did you
just following orders? That was the answer. Yes. Of the Nazis in the Nuremberg trials.
Exactly.
And that's exactly work. It didn't get him
exactly,
out.
that's exactly the excuse that modern day police use when they do some kind of atrocity.
When they shoot your dog or your grandmother. Yeah.
Yeah. And it all goes back to, well, he was following procedure. That was procedure. He was following procedure. We've reviewed his behavior and he was following procedure.
Hmm. So basically original sin is the desire to govern others. That's what you're saying.
I believe so. I believe so. And I think that is what happened that separated humanity from freedom, that literally kicked us out of the garden. The garden of the mind.
And I've heard another way you put it is that believing in the state is kicking God off the throne.
Yeah. You know, there's a different story, a biblical story, where it's generally believed that this story is describing Lucifer or Satan. And it describes this guy that was beautiful, that was really something to look at. And he was perfect in all of his ways, but he had one flaw. And that flaw was that he desired to sit on the throne and be as a god. And eventually this caused him to get thrown out of his position, and that's why it's believed that description is of the devil. But I think that's mankind. I think mankind was in that perfect state where he naturally obeyed the law, the natural law, and then he decided he was the law.
Yeah.
He sat on the throne.
Yep. And you know who threw Lucifer out was Michael. And this is Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends with Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. And Dean means one who rules over 10, but I don't rule over anyone.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This is Michael Dean from The Freedom Fiends. You know, without the Star Trek communicator, we wouldn't have cell phones or computers that fit in your pocket. Because envisioning the future is the first step to real groundbreaking changes in our lifetime. That's why I love Scott Beezer's webcomic, Quantum Vibe. Quantum Vibe has allowed me to more clearly envision LibPair, or Libertarian Paradise, and help me work toward it. Who'll build the roads? You and me. Who'll draw up the blueprints? Scott Beezer in Quantum Vibe at BigHeadPress.com. That's BigHeadPress.com.
Looking for some summer fun in Wyoming? A camping weekend with liberty-minded folks for a barbecue, tubing on a river, a live band, and some quality trigger time? Then join us in Guernsey from May 29th to June 1st for the 2014 Free State Wyoming Jamboree. Founded by author Kenneth Royce, Free State Wyoming encourages free trade, political liberty, and voluntary cooperation. Come bask in the laissez-faire Western culture of the cowboy state. Bring your family to the Free State Wyoming Jamboree. For more details, visit freestatewyoming.org.
This is Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends, literally the most independent syndicated radio show in the country. We're on 23 stations. We were on 25, but two of them, like, overnight turned into country and western stations. That happens sometimes, and they don't tell you about it. You have to figure it out from reading Talkers Magazine, reading The Trade. You know, that's how my band found out we got dropped, was reading The Trade papers when we were on Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers didn't even tell us when they dropped us. Our attorney called us and said, "Did you read Billboard Magazine this morning?" And it was like a little blurb on page 28 or something. But, yeah, man, so we're talking to Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, here, and we're doing our We hadn't had him for a while. He's on for both days this weekend. So we're having a refresher course on the world according to Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, and why you're wrong about everything you believe. Now, Ben, your website is badquaker.com, right?
Right.
BADQUAKER.com. Not Bad Quacker, Bad Quaker. People spell it wrong. You should get badquacker.com to catch those misspellings. But yeah, mine's freedomfiends.com. That's freedom, then Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com. And you can go there and get Freedom Fiends buttons, including one that Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, helped me design, the Buy Sheep, For Sheep, On Sheep, which is a reference to how our founding documents were all written on vellum, which is sheepskin. And, you know, we're not bashing the Constitution. It's just something we didn't sign. And if you actually read the thing, it doesn't really protect your liberties. The Bill of Rights kind of does a little tiny bit, but it's been ignored since the ink wasn't even dry. And if you read the first couple pages of the Constitution, they basically say the government can do whatever it wants in perpetuity to you and will expand and can tax you. And the only limits you get on it is you get to elect people who are smarter than you, supposedly, to do your bidding and do the voting for you. You basically, they say that's what representational democracy or a republic is. You know, we're not a democracy, we're a republic. So is North Korea. So is China. So is Iran. Iran is, what is it? Isn't it called like the Islamic Republic of Iran? That's in the name. A bunch of these countries, the full name of them have the word republic in them.
Union of Soviet Socialist Republic.
Yeah, yeah. The USSR was a republic. So when you say, we're not a democracy, we're a republic, I will follow up with a question of, what's that mean and why is it good? You know, and basically, most people don't know, and if they do, it's something about having wise men in your stead doing your voting for you. How's that working out for you lately? And I'm not advocating for direct democracy. I'm advocating for every man be his own republic, basically. Every man and woman rule themselves, and no victim, no crime. But Ben, did you know that Rush Limbaugh wrote a children's book?
He did.
Yeah. It's called...
On how to smuggle in drugs from Cuba?
No. Did he do that?
I don't know if it was from Cuba, but he was caught bringing excessive prescription drugs into the country.
Was it from Canada?
I can't remember the details.
That's where old people go for drugs. Mostly. Now they go to Colorado. You know what's kind of funny? And we're going to get back to Rush Limbaugh's children's book and hopefully not get kicked off of talk radio. I think he has a button on his iPhone that's like, delete the Freedom Fiends, probably, because he has that kind of power, man. You don't mess with the Rush. So he wrote a children's book called something like Our Brave Pilgrims. It's, you know, it's about the greatness of the pilgrims. What do you have to say about that? And we're going to carry into the next segment with this, too.
Yeah. Generally, when we're talking about pilgrims, we're specifically talking about the Puritans. And the Puritans were a relatively small group of people who, many of them stayed in England, some went in onto the main part of Europe. But quite a few of them came to America in the Northeast. And they really, I like to use the word infected. They infected New England. And they were not, generally speaking, especially the leadership, they were not pleasant people at all. They were very pro-slave. They were very ready to use extreme violence to inflict their will upon anyone. And they had absolutely no respect for anyone who was not a Puritan. Their fanatic view of Christianity was such that, you know, whatever a person may think, that, you know, people talk all the time about the evils of Islam. Well, whatever you think about how bad Islam might be or the radicals of Islam might be, that's exactly what the Puritans were. They were ready to burn people at the stake because they didn't agree with them. And they wanted control of the government, and that's why they came to America.
Sounds like that group Stop Free Keen. Have you seen that Facebook group, that New England Facebook group in New Hampshire?
Yeah, that's the descendants of
them. It's the direct descendants. Forget the Daughters of the American Revolution. It's the Daughters of the Pilgrims.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Have you ever wanted to move to the land of LibPair? Libertarian paradise, where there's fun for everyone that doesn't initiate force on others, fun for the kids, parties for the adults, buy and sell in silver or Bitcoin, scenic hikes and gun shoots, speeches to educate us all. The Porcupine Freedom Festival is LibPair in the White Mountains of New Hampshire for a week this summer, June 22nd to 29th. Get your tickets now before there's no more room. Porkfest, the event of a lifetime. Porkfest.com. That's PORCFEST.com.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially
do not want you to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
Rush's horse is smiling at him on the cover of this book.
Maybe Rush did something that pleased the horse and made him very, very comfortable.
Man, don't say that on radio. You're bad, Ben. Bad,
what?
Ben.
He just brushed his hair.
Here we go.
What did you think?
Turning you down, Ben. This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. It's not a Freedom Rider. It's not a Rough Rider. It's not a, I'm not one of those great men. I'm a good man, a good man. And another good man we have here is Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. And we're doing something that we do occasionally on the Freedom Fiends, which is we review a book we haven't read.
and probably won't read.
Yeah, and we're judging a book by its cover and its title. But what did you say?
Books have covers for a reason. That's why they put a cover on it, so you can have a judgment of whether you'll buy it or not.
Yeah, and we're looking at this book, Rush, Revere, and the Brave Pilgrims, Time Travel Adventures with Exceptional Americans. And it has Rush Limbaugh's face on Paul Revere's body with a ship in the distance and what looks like a tidal wave about to hit him. It's kind of confusing, but So it's basically historical, I guess, alternative fiction where Rush was Paul Revere and had adventures with lots of things. Let's see. Let's read a review. This Chrissy, the Stooges woman, wrote, not just for kids, fun for everyone who loves historical time travel stories. Forget everything you think you know about Rush Limbaugh. Read the book with an open mind. Blah, 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 blah. Pilgrims. Pilgrims. You know, people worship the pilgrims. In this book, it's all about the pilgrims and the Puritans and how and why they embarked on the Mayflower to the New World. Yeah, so tell me the truth about the pilgrims, and Ben Stone does this very well, telling you why you're wrong about everything you think you know. Go, Ben, go.
Well, let's start with the Mayflower, since that was brought up. You know, the Mayflower was a boat, and it was paid for by some people, not the people riding the boat. It was paid for by financial backers who
brothers.
Were maybe their great-great-great-great-grandfathers. But these people were essentially backing these Puritans and their slaves to go to the New World.
And their slaves. Freedom, man, except for those guys.
To go to the New World and set up a colony in Virginia and essentially work for this corporation. And when they got to the coast of the New World, the Puritans essentially took over the ship, sailed it north to an area that was not authorized to be settled.
Mutiny.
They did, yeah. They essentially broke the contract that they had made with their financial backers.
So let's see, they had slaves and they couldn't keep their word before they even hit the shore.
Correct.
Right.
The other thing that that Puritans liked really a lot was to be the only ones with weapons. When they came on board,
that sounds like most lawmakers and nanny staters in New England, and probably stop Free Keen. They want the police to be the only ones with weapons.
Yeah, exactly. So when they first came on board, there were the captain of the ship and the sailors that actually worked the ship. There were the Puritans and the slaves that they owned. And then there was a large group of people. The majority of the people on the ship were essentially hired into servitude. They made the agreement, yes, I will go to the New World and I will work for this corporation for 8 years, and then I will be a free person and be given a plot of land. So that was the people that were on board the ship. The Puritans themselves were the smallest minority on the ship. Most of the people there were indentured servants who would eventually be free. So the Puritans made sure that they were the only ones on the ship that were armed. And then when they got to the New World, they took over the ship and sailed it north. And the captain of the ship was probably in on it with them. Otherwise, it would have been considered a mutiny and they could have been hung. But either way, so they got up there and they settled and they got their little plot of land that they took without a proper, you know, it's essentially they went out there and squatted on land. And then they set up a communist society.
So they were kind of like Occupy Wall Street, but more successful.
Yeah. And like many of the people in Occupy Wall Street, they were communists. They set up a communist society where they were the little Soviet in charge of their little communist society. And their system, where no one owned anything except the Puritans own everything, which is very Soviet, almost starved to death the entire group. And it took a couple years before they figured out that communism didn't work. And the only way that they were going to survive was to allow free market principles to function. So after a couple years of starving, barely making it, being helped out by the natives, they eventually began adopting the least amount that they could get away with of market principles. And that allowed them to survive. But the leaders of the Puritans remained in control during that whole time, and anybody that opposed them or anybody that tried to move in from the other colonies, they would have no trouble in beating them, humiliating them, putting them in stocks. In one case, there were also Quakers in the New World, and the Quakers were almost a movement created as a response to the Puritans in England. The Puritans in England were, it was a power grab that was going on. They kicked the king out and there was a revolution going on. And the Puritans were coming, being the most violent people in England at the time, were coming out on top of the revolution as violent people often do. And so,
yeah, and you know, what is it Nima Vedati said that radicals become conservatives the day after the revolution?
Yeah, exactly. So the Quakers were sort of a backlash to the Puritan movement in England, and so a lot of the Quakers also migrated to the New World, and you know, they were attempting to pretty much it was pretty much the goal of Quakers to live and let live, and that was kind of what they did. They didn't do things like they didn't take off their hat or bow. Or call people by names, you know, by titles and so forth. They felt that all humans were on the same level. The king meant nothing. The lowest servant was the same as the highest, governmental person or whatever. They didn't believe in popes or funny hats or any of the kind of outlandish things.
Were the Quakers the ones that started the tradition of refusing to take off your hat in court?
Yes, that was their one of the things that got them hung pretty regularly.
Didn't Ian Freeman go to jail for that?
I believe he did.
Yeah, for a while.
Which kind of could have been avoided if he would have fallen on the First Amendment and claimed that to be his. But I don't know.
That wouldn't have worked because the people running the courts in New Hampshire are the direct descendants of the Pilgrims.
Yeah. Besides, tricks like that in the long run never work.
Yeah, yeah. There's no magic words. The government cheats. They have guns. They have guns, then they're willing to use them and can get away with it. We have guns, but we can't use them. Yeah.
So that was the way the Puritans behaved in those days. There are cases where Quakers also refused to pay their taxes. Those crazy Quakers didn't feel that their money should be taken from them and used to build churches of a religion they didn't believe and fight wars against the Indians and against the Canadians, which was also a regular Pilgrim thing. The Pilgrims regularly invaded Canadian Quebec. Provinces. Yeah. Yeah. And would rob them and steal from them simply because they weren't English. They were French Canadians up there, and they thought, the Pilgrims thought, it was perfectly acceptable to go on a raiding party and burn a village and take everything that they could away from the French in Canada simply because they were not English.
Which is basically they thought of people who weren't of their cloth to be. The Pilgrims thought that anyone who wasn't like them was subhuman, which is basically what racists and Nazis believe.
Exactly. And that's how they justified slavery. Both, and they didn't only believe in African Americans as slaves. They believed that Irish could be slaves.
Well, they weren't African Americans. They were Africans.
Yeah.
They had white slaves too.
Yeah, correct. They believed that anybody who wasn't a Puritan was fodder as a slave. They could be taken as a slave. That's what they believe.
Didn't they also not honor the contracts of letting those indentured servants free after 8 years sometimes?
Yeah, exactly. Or they would just find some kind of silly loophole that they had, come up with to force the person to continue in their servitude for year after year after year.
Kind of like what the military does with their stop-loss program.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. But Quakers didn't like funding all this kind of stuff. And the other thing that the Puritans passed, the origins of blue laws in America came from the Puritans. They passed laws that said, like, you have to attend church on Sunday morning. You have to dress in certain ways on Sundays. You can't drink on Sundays. Now, the Puritans were okay with alcohol. They produced it and they bought and sold it and everything, but they were very particular about alcohol on Sunday. And so that's where the root of a lot of the silly blue laws come from. But the Quakers wouldn't succumb to this. They refused to pay their taxes. They refused to wear magic clothes on Sundays. They refused to take their hat off in the presence of great men. And so for this reason, the Puritans began punishing the Quakers. One of the things that they did, and this is a true story, there was a woman who refused to put on special magic clothes on Sunday and dress up and go to church. So they decided to make an example of her and humiliate her by stripping her naked, tying her to the back of a cart, a horse cart, and then walking her all around town while beating her in front of everybody in town, so they would all know this is what happens to heretics who don't dress up and go to church on Sunday. So the Quakers were stuck in a conundrum, because rather than strike back, the Quakers were mostly pacifists, and rather than strike back, which they didn't believe they could do, they had to find another way to do something about this humiliation. So they talked it over, and they decided that on one Sunday, they would all go to church. Every Quaker that knew about this and wanted to help in fighting against this tyranny, they would all go to church that coming Sunday, but they would all do so naked. So literally all over New England, there were Quakers showing up at church naked, walking up and down the aisles. Hey, how you doing? How's it hanging?
Man, so like they were like the hippies of their day too.
Yeah. How's it going there, Mrs. Wentworth? How you feeling today? See anything you like?
Prudent. How's it going, Prudence Goodwife?
Yeah. So, in a sense, that kind of backfired, because then the Puritans really started coming down on them. But it also, it brought attention to their cause. It's civil disobedience, and that can have positive and negative repercussions.
We'll have more from Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, on why you're wrong about the Pilgrims and everything you think you know when we get back on the Freedom Fiends.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Brink of Freedom is a community-based network and magazine whose mission is to provide you with the information you need on your walk to freedom. From homesteading and gardening to tactical and firearms, Brink of Freedom provides everything you will need to gain the knowledge to be self-sufficient. If government doesn't like it, Brink of Freedom will cover it. Come share your knowledge and gain the knowledge of industry professionals within the community. Become a premium member and gain access to unlimited content and discounts on products and services from our merchants. Use the discount code FIENDS at brinkoffreedom.net.
Yeah, this is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, talking to Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, about why everything you know is wrong. And today's episode is about the chapter is why you everything you think you know is wrong. Chapter one, The Pilgrims. But we're going to take a little side note here and come back in hour two with more about the Pilgrims and why they're not to be celebrated. I got a great review. Someone posted a review on the Freedom Fiends blog about my DVD that I did with Jared Waltz. It's a DVD called Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. And you can get that on Amazon. You can also get it on our torrent link. And we do encourage people to torrent and seed Freedom Fiends episodes and movies. You can go to thefreedomfiends.com and click on the link that says Torrent Club in the top right. And it'll show you how to do that, how to use unused time with your computer to help keep the fiends drone proof. So literally, like, I could get killed, Ben could get killed, and the websites could get obliterated from the face of the earth, and there would still be all these people out there sharing it on the torrents, which cannot be stopped because it's not all in one place. And I made this DVD. It was volume one. People keep asking where volume two is. I just haven't got around to it. I don't even know that we need a volume two. I mean, there's other stuff that's not taught in the video, but it's a pretty thorough beginning and intermediate overview. And this guy Jeff said, I just watched this video and wanted to thank the people involved. I was given a 22 rifle for Christmas when I was 8, and my father enrolled me in gun safety classes. By the time I was lucky enough to be in a class taught by what I found out was a retired Marine gunny, he had a toned down the rhetoric and wasn't barking orders 2 inches from our faces, but all the info and seriousness remained. We spent the first 2 weeks learning how to break down, clean, and properly lube the weapons before we ever saw a round of range. In watching this video, I found I had learned over the following 40 years most of the same principles shown on this DVD. People of all political viewpoints could benefit from this 90 minutes of wisdom that took me so long to learn myself. And let's see, then he goes on to how in the DVD it says that guns are not jewelry. And they don't have to be treated as such. And that was actually a segment I helped write where the guy teaching the video takes his Glock and throws it into the dirt and then picks it up. And he says, you don't treat guns like jewelry, and you don't have an attitude of, you know, it's a magic wand that you'll point at a bad guy in your home in the middle of the night hoping he'll stop. It's like you don't draw it unless you're going to use it. You know, and some could say this is a DVD that teaches you how to kill people. It's a DVD that teaches you how to protect yourself and your family. And you shoot to stop, not to kill, but a good stop shot will often kill. And that's explained quite well in this video. You know, he talks about, like, you don't want to just wing somebody. You want to point and shoot in their center mass or in their head. That's how you stop a bad guy, and shoot them more than once. And there are some disclaimers in the video that you should check out before you act on any of that. I'm not saying it's a good thing to shoot people. I hope I never have to. I really hope I never have to. I'm not one of this minority of people who hope someone breaks in so they get to shoot them. I think it'd be horrible, but I am willing to do it. Absolutely willing to do it. There's no question in my mind. I wouldn't hesitate.
And I would add, it's just a really well done video, too. It's good sound, good editing. You guys did a really good job on that video.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I did all the production on it, and Jared Waltz did all the teaching on it. I helped him with writing it and planning it and presenting it. It was kind of fun how he did it. He came down and spent 3 nights at our house, and we did some filming each day. We worked ahead of time before he came down here. We worked ahead of time with some notes going back and forth until we had an outline and a plan. And then we just started shooting, filming stuff. Some of it at home, you know, with no ammo in the gun, just showing different stances and tactics. And we just crossed stuff off the list as we did it. Then we'd go out to the range and film some more. And then we came back and I put it all together, and it was a lot of fun, and it is well done. It's simple production, low budget, but good for low budget. I also write books on how to do that. I have a book called $30 Film School you can get on Amazon. All right, we'll be back for hour two of the Freedom Fiends with Ben Stone, telling you why the Pilgrims are not people to be celebrated.
Worms.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. Shinybadges.com.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to announce the second annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It's at the Circle Pines Center just outside Kalamazoo, Friday, August 22nd through Monday, August 25th. There will be family and grown-up friendly activities, great conversation, presentations, and bacon. Lots of bacon. It doesn't matter if you're an OG libertarian, a newbie, or just anarcho-curious. Come on out and enjoy some voluntarism. For more information, go to miplc.org.
Yeah. Hello. It's the Freedom Fiends. Yep. So we have a lot of listeners in America on radio. Actually, like, I think we reach about 5 miles into Canada on the North Dakota station. But we have a lot of listeners on the interwebs too. And if there's anybody listening in the Pisa, Italy area, like as in the Leaning Tower of Pisa, a film I directed is showing there at the film festival on Tuesday at the Pisa Film Forum. Is the name of the festival. I will unfortunately not be attending, but it's the movie Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow, the movie that I directed and put together with the interviews I did with the author of Requiem for a Dream and Last Exit to Brooklyn. Hubert Selby Jr., the movie's narrated by Robert Downey Jr. I had the pleasure of directing him. Didn't take much direction, man. That guy can read narration like a champ. I think I did one bit of direction. It was on, I was telling a guy from New York how to do a New York accent. Actually, I was just saying that a certain part needed a street Brooklyn accent. And it was quite an experience. It was really fun. It's a good film. It's a good, another low budget film that I did. And if you go to the Freedom Fiends Facebook page, there's a link to the Hubert Selby Jr. It'll Be Better Tomorrow. D. Michael W. Dean, I guess that's Italian for with or by, I don't know. I don't speak no Italian, but they did, they also translated it and put subtitles in it, which is pretty cool for the film festival. They put a lot of work into that. Now, I won't be at that, but Ben and I, my co-host Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker from badquaker.com, will be in person at the Porcupine Freedom Fest, or Pork Fest, as it's colloquially known. You can go to the website, porcfest.com, and look at the schedule there and all the neat events. I'm showing a couple movies I made and giving talks afterwards on DIY video and audio production. One of my movies is called Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, and it's basically showing why, if you are in favor of the rights to do one of those things. You should be in favor of the rights of other people to do the other things. It's not saying smoke gun and shoot weed or whatever. I saw this movie that said smoke guns and shoot weed. No, it doesn't say get high and shoot guns. It says you should, just because you're into one, you shouldn't be against the other for other people, because they try to divide and conquer. That's what politicians want to do. They want to put you in cages. They want to write things down on paper. And this movie explains why you shouldn't support that. And the other movie is called DIY or Die. That's Do It Yourself or Die. DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist. And again, you can go to Porkfest, PORCFEST.com. It's at Rogers Campground in Lancaster, New Hampshire, June 22nd to 29th. And there's a lot of cool stuff going on there. Ben is showing some stuff or doing some stuff. What are you doing, Ben?
I've got at least three events planned so far, and I'm speaking with the organizers about including a fourth one on that. But the three that are already slated are on Tuesday at 5 p.m. I'll be giving a talk and interactive sort of a lesson thing on the role of the storyteller. And I've got some really good points on that. A lot of the stuff that you and I have talked about before, about having a three-act, the three-act model, and what happens in each of those three acts, and what you can, it not only in storytelling, I think it allows you to when you understand these things, it allows you to enjoy movies and books and stories a little bit better. If you are able to know what's happening and know what's coming at you,
it also enables you to see through the ones that are cheesy better and avoid
them.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So that's the one on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Then Friday at 9:30 a.m., I'll be part of a panel that's discussing abortion and libertarianism. And now this one person on Facebook, I'm not on Facebook, but I'm told that one person on Facebook was discussing this and with others, and things were getting a little out of control in the discussion. And they said, hey, let's save this discussion for Porkfest, where everybody will be armed and drunk. And that's not necessarily an accurate depiction of Porkfest, but it's kind of accurate.
Duplicitous depiction.
But it's kind of accurate. Porkfest is a lot of fun. You don't have to be drunk to enjoy it.
I'll
you
be,
don't
armed have to be armed and not drunk, because I'm coming up on 20 years sober July 7th.
Yeah, and you can still have a lot of fun there. There's family-oriented
stuff.
I'll
be the designated gun driver.
Yeah.
I'll hold all. When everyone gets too drunk, they can hand me their weapons to hold.
On Saturday, the big event of my speaking will be 11 a.m. in the big tent. And when I say big tent, it's like a big carnival tent. It's not like guys hanging around a two-man tent.
Porkfest is a big tent.
Yeah. But it's Saturday, 11
a.m. It's actually
a
number of big tents, but go on.
Yeah.
It's intense.
I'll be doing a talk called Liberty is More Dangerous Than You Think. And it has two, I believe, real eye-opening points that I'm going to try to get across to people. And I think it's really important at this stage in the game that we recognize these points. I won't give you any more of a teaser than that on it. But that's my three speaking spots. And there might be a fourth. We'll have to wait and see if we can get that worked out with the details.
And, you know, I've never been to Porkfest, but I'm really looking forward to it. You've been, right?
This will be my third time, and I really enjoy it. I have said this before. I believe that Porkfest is the premier liberty event of the year. And there are others that are sponsored by big money and show up in flashy places. And, you know, that's nice. But this one is genuine. This one comes from the heart. And this is true grassroots. This is not being funded by, well, I don't know. I won't go any further.
Well, there's a bunch of them going on this year. There's the Free State Wyoming one. And there's the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, which is in Michigan.
I have attended that, too.
Yeah, and I've been asked by Lou Sander, one of the organizers and one of the co-hosts on the Freedom Fiends, Early bird registration for the second annual Midwest Peace and Peace and Liberty Fest this August, just outside Kalamazoo, Michigan, has been extended through Monday, May 19th. The prices are $40 for adults, $20 for kids, and there's a 20% alternative currency discount for using silver for Bitcoin, for using silver or Bitcoin. For more details and to register, go to miplc.org. And remember, the early birds get more worms. And you know, these are not competing events. You could actually go to all three of them. They are kind of staggered weeks apart. You could go to the free. You could actually go to. You could fly to Pisa, Italy, on Tuesday and see my movie, the Hubert Selby Jr. It'll Be Better Tomorrow film in the Pisa Film Fest. Then you could go to the Free State Wyoming Festival, and then you could go to the Michigan Peace and Liberty Festival. And then, oh, actually, no, then you'd go to Pork Fest. Then you could go to the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. You could make a tour of it.
Yeah. Nationwide, worldwide tour.
Yep. Yep. So, and the Free State Wyoming one is happening in Wyoming, and that's a good one that's nearby that you can go to. And it's the Free State Wyoming Jamboree Thursday, May 29th to Sunday, June 1st at fswforum.org. Now, if you you can go to the Pork Fest and enjoy the company of some people who are not the spiritual great-grandchildren of the horrible pilgrims and Puritans you were talking about, who are people you'd have to deal with if you actually hung out in New Hampshire long enough, because they live there. There's a very few of them, but they're very vocal. There's something called Stop Free Keen, and if you search that on Facebook, you'll see a bunch of Puritan descendants or spiritual descendants of the Puritans making death threats to the Free State New Hampshire people. Not really death threats, just things like, we want the government to take your house and turn it into a museum to the state. Man, that's just wrong on so many levels. So tell me more, Ben, about the Pilgrims and the Puritans and why they are not to be celebrated.
Yeah, this is going into our discussion from the last hour. In case people missed it, they can get over to freedomfiends.com and download that here in just a little while. But the idea that, you know, that the Puritans, the Pilgrims, were these wonderful people that just, they wore kind of funny clothes, but they just loved turkey and they loved hugging their Indian brothers and they just, they all got along so well. They were really some of the nastiest people. If you read the writings of some of them, like there's one guy named Cotton Mather, and he was one of the leading Puritans of the day. And if you read his writings, his pro-slavery writings, he essentially says, if you're a slave and you don't want to be a slave,
move to
God
Somalia.
Hates you.
Move to Somalia. Yeah.
No, he threatens them even worse. He says God hates you, and you're basically going to, you know, burn for that in eternity. I mean, that's the way that they thought about things. A good slave ought to be happy about being a slave. And your blessing as a Christian will come if you work hard for your slave master.
That sounds like every statist I've ever met. You know, everyone who says, you should be happy to pay taxes and obey the nanny laws. I've actually heard people say that if a law is written down, it's immutable and it's, you know, and these are some people that don't even believe in God. They're like people who are like, you know, some say, you know, God wants you to obey all laws written by man. And there's other who's just believe that the state is God and believe that if something is written down, you have to obey it. I mean, I've seen people say, literally, I've heard people say that murder and running a traffic sign are the same thing. When nobody's around are the same thing. You know, they're laws, you're breaking them, that it's the same level.
That's kind of like the idea that a cop can't question the law. He just has to enforce it. It's not his job to question it or
just,
well, you know,
following
what?
Orders like the Nazis. Yeah. Yeah.
You stop being a human when you do that. You become just a slave, just a robot, just a button to be pushed by somebody greater than you.
Well, they're replacing a lot of traffic cops with robots, you know, with cameras that take pictures and mail you mail you a bill, and if you don't pay it, they take your car or they throw you in a cage. They send men to your doors to put guns to your head. They'll eventually replace a lot of cops with robots, and that sounds like science fiction, but it's already happening. You know, when you have cops in militarized vehicles in tiny towns that have never had any violent crime, you know, my town, Casper, Wyoming, has had one for years, one of those... And really, the last mass shooting in Wyoming was in the 1800s, and it was about sheep. We'll be back with more on the Puritans. Got them here, too.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other competing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and we're here with Ben Stone, continuing with our war on Thanksgiving, our war on pilgrims. Why are you picking on the pilgrims? They had such cute hats and buckles and blunderby. Blunderby? Plural of blunderbuss?
Plural.
Yeah. All right. So tell it like it is, Ben. Why do you hate pilgrims? Why do you hate America? You must hate America, Ben.
You know, I have a dedication to the truth, and that really is why it
support
sounds corny.
The truth.
Yes.
Support the truth. Yeah.
It sounds corny, but it really is true. I hurt myself almost with effort to only adhere to the truth. And I believe that the truth always is superior to a lie. So when I see individuals lying about history, I have to assume there's some reason that they're doing it. And if they're lying about something, you know, it's kind of like advertising. If I'm watching television and some advertisement comes on and I can see clearly that someone is, you know, spitting out double talk.
And some man comes on the radio and tells you you can't be a man because you don't smoke the same cigarettes as he.
Yeah, exactly. When someone is clearly trying to con me with something, the first thing I think of is the opposite of what this guy's saying is probably the truth.
And I feel that way anytime the government speaks, which is why we made buttons that say state speech is hate speech. And you can buy them on freedomfiends.com on the link that says buttons. So go on, Ben.
Whenever I think about history, I want to know what actually happened, not what somebody is making up, what kind of lies that they're telling to try to push whatever kind of agenda that they've got on their plate. And I don't even necessarily need to know what the agenda is. And you can't do bad to produce good. That's something I just believe.
Yeah.
Yep. And so to lie to someone to produce good, I think, is a backwards thing. I don't think you can do it. I don't think you can lie to someone and make a situation better. So even if it harms me, I would rather have the truth. And that's the problem with history, is that so much of it is written with an agenda, with an intent to deceive people.
Why do you hate America, Ben? You don't hate America. You love the truth. And
There
are good things that have happened in America and bad things that have happened in America. And one of the bad things is the lies that are told to children about why they should love the pilgrims.
Yeah. And if you want to get a little bit more in depth on all of these topics, you can pick up a book by Rothbard called Conceived in Liberty. and by Murray Rothbard. It's kind of a big set. It's a, in its original form, it's a 4-volume set, and it's kind of large. But you can
I'd rather listen to you talk. But I guess you are giving your you know, people say how
the source.
Yeah, the source. What's that word they use on news about truth? Yeah, the source.
Yeah.
You could just say I will never give up my sources. And,
yeah.
And claim the First Amendment. But yeah, go ahead. Go ahead with why the pilgrims wanted to murder, why they murdered everyone they didn't like.
Well, that was their method of getting power and keeping power. And Rothbard does go through very well and documents what all of his sources are. So this is not just some crazy guy with a foil hat in a bunker somewhere.
That's me.
But yeah, they were pretty horrible people. I was talking about Cotton Mather earlier, that he essentially was telling slaves that they were slaves because God willed it. And if they tried to, if they were disgruntled in their position or whatever, then they're fighting God. You know, he actually put that in that context and taught people that as a sermon. He was a minister and one of the really important people in among the pilgrims. Among people that didn't like the pilgrims, of course, I mentioned before, were the Quakers. And they would go so far as to take the Quakers' land, take all their possessions, and force them to leave New England. And they did this with quite a few of the Quakers until the situation got such that there were so many non-pilgrims that they could no longer bully people around like that, and they had to moderate their behavior in order to keep themselves from ending up at the end of a rope by other authorities. And they were a threat to all English authority, all English government, and everything. Once the pilgrims got out of power, once Cromwell and his cronies were kicked out of power in England, the what might be called, if you can use these terms and not laugh in the middle of it, the legitimate government got back control of England and therefore the colonies, and the pilgrims were no longer in control.
We'll be back with more after this trip to the free market with Ben Stone and why you're wrong about everything you think you know, especially Volume 1, The Pilgrims.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, there's some Squiskar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. And you know, I don't advertise anything I don't believe in. Everything we advertise so far has my stamp of approval. And I want to talk about the heartbreak of back pain, because I suffer back pain. I'm turning 50 this month, and I spend most of my time in front of a computer because I'm a sissy boy who fights for liberty from my windowless bedroom, my paneled basement. And now I'm actually in a windowed bedroom office. And I went down during the break into my paneled basement. It's not, I don't live in my mother's paneled basement. I live in my wife and my paneled basement. And I went down there and did some inversion, hanging upside down on this really cool device I bought that is called the, it's not Rush Revere and the Brave Pilgrims. It's not that book. It's the other Amazon link. It's a tilt table, and it costs $120, and it's the BodyMax IT6000 inversion therapy table. And I did that during the break before this one, and during the last break, I made a little post for it and put it on the sidebar of freedomfiends.com. If you want to get it, you can go to the link that says how Michael helped stop his back pain. And it's got something that looks like, oh, I don't know, a cross between S&M equipment and waterboarding equipment, but it's neither. And it's for gently lying upside down. It's cheaper than the boots and safer, I believe, than the boots. I'm not going to make any claims for its medical effectiveness because I'm not a doctor, but it really helped me. And the boots, I do know, I had a friend who was using the boots and fell and ended up with worse back pain because the boots, you can fall pretty easy. And he compressed his spine even further, and it didn't help. But this inversion table, I'm really digging it. Best $120 ever spent. I went to a doctor a couple weeks ago, spent $130, and basically had the doctor tell me, you know, backs are backs. There's nothing wrong with you, you know, that I can see physically. You just have to exercise more and spend less time in front of the computer. And I'm like, yeah, that'll happen. But this table is kind of like exercising without exercising. It decompresses your spine. You can actually exercise on it. You can do really gentle sit-ups on it upside down. It's a lot of fun, and your cats come up and look at you like, what are you doing? Like, they don't get it. But I thought about this. I was like, I should go find these people and sell them ads. And I'm like, why do I want to bother making phone calls and asking someone's permission when I can just probably make as much money selling something I believe in by putting a link on my website to Amazon? And I like that about Amazon. Amazon is how the free market should work. You recommend something you believe in to a friend and you get a couple bucks, and you don't have to like apply. I mean, you have to apply once to do Amazon links, but yeah, so go to the Freedom Fiend site and click on the link that says how Michael helped stop his back pain. If you and it's not stopped. It's not an overnight fix. It's not surgery. It's not drugs. It's not voodoo. It's not molestation or any of the other things doctors occasionally do or prescribe. But it just works, man. It gently and slowly and surely is making my back feel better. You know, when I'm feeling real crunchy, I go down and hang upside down for about 60 to 90 seconds, and it really feels good, man. I'm digging it, and I believe in it. So if you want help with back pain, I'm not a doctor. I'm saying this worked for me. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link below the Torrent Club link on how Michael helped stop his back pain.
Amazon is really easy to use, too. It's super easy to set up an identity there. And if you got a PayPal account or a credit card or however you want to do it, it's just super easy to shop there. And you don't have to worry about drive-by stabbings at the local mall, right, Michael?
Right, right. And you could go to badquaker.com. Ben Stone has an Amazon affiliate link. So do the Freedom Fiends. I actually know people who buy every other thing they buy on Amazon, one time from my affiliate link, the Freedom Fiends link, and one time from your affiliate link. They go back and forth every time they order.
The only thing that could improve Amazon that I can think of is if they took Bitcoin.
Yeah, but you can go to gift.com, GYFT.com, and buy an Amazon gift card that works online with Bitcoin.
So you can fulfill all in one setting.
Yeah, so you can spend more time on the computer hurting your back, but it doesn't take much time. I used gift.com recently to cash in and buy my wife a bunch of clothes and nice things for Porkfest. We bought some luggage, some clothes, some some TSA approved locks, which are kind of a funny joke. It's kind of training you to believe things are secure when the government has the backdoor key to them. But, you know, it also might keep somebody from stealing something because not everybody at the TSA and not everyone who handles your luggage has the lock to it, allegedly. And you know, when Davy Barker traveled and dealt with the TSA because they thought he had Bitcoin, they saw physical Bitcoin. They saw badges with not even the Bitcoin symbol on them. He had a Bitcoin t-shirt, Bitcoin Not Bombs t-shirt, and they believed that he was, you know, smuggling money or something, and detained him for a while and felt him up and touched him in special places. And, you know, years from now, he'll be talking to a therapist who will be saying, in LibPair, who will be saying, "Show me on the doll where the state touched you, Davy." And he'll literally point to that special place. Yeah, the state did that to him because he had a Bitcoin t-shirt. But he talked to one of the guys. Basically, he talked to what they're doing now is they're parking people at the TSA who want to do something else. This guy he talked to, who was cool, wanted to be a pilot, and they were parking him at the TSA until the pilot training was available. And he said, "You know, I'm not on the track like the other guys are." And he's like, "What track?" And the guy explained how there's two different tracks. There's the you're parked here because you want to go do something cool like be a pilot. And then there's the track of, you know, Fed goons who want to work for the CIA or the FBI or whatever. Yeah, they park them there. And the guy told Davy twice, "Keep an eye on your stuff. Stuff gets stolen here." And he didn't say whether it was the TSA or other flyers or whatever, but he seemed to be implying the TSA steals stuff. And the TSA did steal a Target out of my dad's luggage, which I just thought was petty. They stole a trophy from a 93-year-old man, or the TSA allowed someone to, because they have control over your luggage the whole way through, man. They may let someone else fondle it, some luggage apes like in the commercial fondle it. But yeah, man, they stole something worthless and sentimental with no material value, a Target. My dad and I went shooting, and my dad did really well. And the TSA allowed to have stolen or stole a paper trophy that was very sentimental to a 93-year-old man.
And that's all they took out of there, right? That's the only thing they took?
Yeah, but I know people who've had money stolen too. So, and a bunch of people have been fired from the TSA for being caught stealing. So yeah, man, TSA approved locks. We got one with Bitcoin on Amazon through gift.com.
I have something that kind of ties all these things around in a circle too.
Is it about the pilgrims and how horrible they are?
No, this is about meat-flavored chewable pain meds.
What? Can you get those on Amazon?
In Libertarian Paradise, in LibPair, there would be meat-flavored chewable pain meds, and you could go down to, you know, the local grocery store and probably pick them up right there at the counter without a prescription.
There's a Simpsons where Bart and Lisa both have the flu, and Marge has the flu, and Homer's at work. I think Homer's home with the flu, too. The whole family's sick, and Marge, being the good, you know, Prudence good wife that she is, goes shopping for the whole family. And, like, they're all barking commands at her of what they want. And one of the Bart asks for is Flintstones chewable morphine. And Marge says, "There's no such thing." But then she, like, it comes up again. She keeps thinking of what everybody wants, and she accidentally steals some whiskey and gets in trouble. But, yeah, Flintstones chewable morphine. I think that would be the thing rather than meat-flavored. I don't think I'd want meat-flavored chewable anything except meat.
The reason I brought that up is I mentioned in the last hour that we had our dog at the vet, and the poor little thing, she was in a lot of pain, and you know, then it was in more pain because they had to lance her.
Okay,
her
blah, la 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 la, yeah.
So so they gave us chewable meat flavored pain pills
for the dog.
Yeah. Okay. So the dog can have something I'm not allowed to have. How come I can't have meat flavor? I want bacon flavored chewable pain meds. That's what I want the next time I have a backache.
When my when my daughter was dying of leukemia, they gave her what's the thing that's like synthetic heroin? It's called synthetic heroin. Perca, fentanyl. They gave her fentanyl lollipops.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a thing that exists. It's for children dying of, you know, teenagers, children. I mean, old people, they give them to everybody. If you're dying of cancer, they give you fentanyl lollipops. That's a real thing. And, you know, she was also, before that point, when she was still home, she was smoking weed to deal with the pain of chemo and the pain of cancer and leukemia. And she never been a weed smoker before. And she was 24 years old, and a kindly doctor said, "You know, why don't you just get someone to get you some marijuana?" and it was not legal. And the thought that someone could throw her in a cage is part of what made me hate the state. Because, you know, they say if you don't like the laws, get involved and change them. And it's like, you're not going to change the law by the time, you know, before your kid dies of cancer. Like, you got to break the law. You got to break. I didn't do it. You know, she did it on her own. I wasn't even living with her. But, you know, that just drove me nuts. I wouldn't say nuts. It just drove me to decision to, I'm going to avenge her death by fighting the state every bit I can, every legal means I can, every nonviolent method I can. I am going to go after the state because they don't do anything good. And all they do is try to keep harmless pain medication away from dying people and people you love.
The very best way to fight the state, and just clarifying what you're saying there, is exposing the state. You don't have to blow anything up. You don't have to kill anybody. You don't have to start a revolution.
No, and that stuff, not only is it immoral and nasty, it doesn't work, man. The right. Hippies in the 60s just blew stuff up all day long, every day. And, you know, a bunch of them ended up in prison, and then one of them ended up, you know, William Ayers ended up teaching with it, with tenure and state funding at a university. But yeah, it didn't change anything, man. It just increased the police state. So violence is not the answer. Making fun of the state and pointing out that it's the 800-pound gorilla in the room pointing a stub machine gun at you is the way to go. And, you know, recently the USDA, which are the people that are responsible for supposedly keeping your meat healthy, they applied for they're getting a bunch of submachine guns, 40 cal machine pistols and machine
and submachine body
guns and body armor. That's a reaction to the stuff that went down in Nevada. They know that meat is something people fight over now, and they don't want government tyranny.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yeah. Yeah. So people always say without the government, who would build the roads? I'd say Daniel Larimer is building the roads. He is the creator of BitShares. You can go to bitshares.org, which is kind of the next generation after Bitcoin of blockchain technology that's going to save the world. We have him on tomorrow doing a 1 hour or more interview. We had him on the other night. Tomorrow we're going to talk with him about BitShares and just the future in general. And Ben Stone will also be here. He'll be good because he can ask the, like, I don't know what that is, old guy questions, which really you need on an interview. You don't just want it explained in tech talk. You want, on the Fiends, we have a chat room that people go on during the show and yell at me and tell me, no, talk about this. No, you're wrong. And I don't even generally go in there because I'm too busy pushing buttons. But I go in once in a while. It's kind of fun. There's a, you know, pink coffee cup that says Fiend Chat on the Fiend site. And when you log in there, the welcome message says, a clean, well-lighted place for fiends. And that's a parody of the short story by Ernest Hemingway called A Clean, Well-Lighted Place, which is basically an old man sits outside a cafe drinking late into the night. And all the young customers come in. It's basically like an old man, you know, contrasting light and shadow to differentiate the old man, which is me and Ben, and the young people around him, which is our listeners. So yeah, A Clean, Well-Lighted Place for Fiends. And that is a voluntary place. You don't have to be there. Now, Ben's going to finish up with some redemption in the third act about probably about the difference between voluntary exchanges and governments pointing guns at you through laws and telling you what to do. And, you know, that traces back to, heavily in America, traces back to the Puritans and the Pilgrims. So go, Ben, go.
Yeah, well, we've been talking about essentially the tyranny of government and how nanny people trying to boss everybody around and tell them how to live their lives. We often talk about how that's wrong. But one thing we're accused of as libertarians and as anarchists and other, you know, labels like that they slap on people, one thing that we're accused of is that we don't offer answers. We just complain about the system. And that's something that Michael and I, we really believe that complaining is not enough. And so we envision this future, and then we try to figure out how do we get there.
Speak for yourself, man. I love complaining. That's all I do.
But this this libertarian paradise future is really actually pretty easy to get to. And what we do is we allow market forces to do the work for us. So in other words, why does government exist? Why do people feel the need that you have to have some kind of a nanny state telling people what to do constantly? And the reason why is because there's a demand for it. The little old lady down the street who wants to make sure you mow your lawn every week will turn you into the police or turn you into the city if you don't, or the county or whoever. And so right now, she wants that authority to be over you so that she can use it against you. So as long as there's a desire for something in the market, no amount of violence or force can stop that from being available. And that's why prohibitions never work. And prohibiting government wouldn't work either. People would just figure out a way to do it anyway. So the answer to what do we do about government is not fight government. It's expose government, expose it for what it really is, and let the market shift and let people's minds and people's desires want something better. And then we begin to offer something better. Better being a non-aggression world, a zero-aggression principle, understanding what property rights are really about, and learning how to respect property rights, and learning how to negotiate these things among ourselves instead of using the force and violence of the state to get what we want. And as we begin to sell this product to the market, as we begin to talk about this product in the market, and as we begin to open people's minds and their hearts to these ideas, then there becomes more and more of a market for freedom. And when the market for freedom is great enough, no force on earth can stop it.
That was beautiful, Ben.
Thank you, Michael.
That took me to my happy place. And ladies and gentlemen, it's the end of the Freedom Fiends on this beautiful sunny Saturday in Wyoming. Ben, where are you?
I am in our RV at a RV park that actually has a shooting range in Central Ohio.
Nice. Nice. And we'll be back tomorrow with Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker from badquaker.com, and Michael Dean, that's me, from the Freedom Fiends at freedomfiends.com. And Daniel Larimer from bitshares.org, which you can check out if you want to do a little previewing of what we're going to have tomorrow. Thank you, and have a pleasant and wonderful day filled with freedom and liberty, and watch out for Smokey the Bear.